Hey guys, welcome to the Brent Gambrell Podcast. Brent is a speaker, author, and missionary.
An unconventional and reluctant missionary.
Yes, to both of those. But join Brent as he shares some of his favorite sermons throughout the years and even has some in-person conversations. So join us.
I am led around at times in my study with the Lord. I'm led by the emails that I get. I want to tell you something. Last week, we must have hit on something because there were 105 emails. I was like, there's how many? And most of, what I love is most of you are sending me stuff. You know, here's a suggestion for the next time you teach this. I love all the teachers in the room. That makes me so happy. Can I tell you that? And a friend of mine sitting here on the front row, she sent me a, Kenda sent me a whole bunch of stuff about the fat grams of everything that are in is in everything. How many fat grams are in this and that and the other? She cares in another way for me, knowing that I'm trying to lose this. Thank you, Kenda. But tonight, we're going to talk about something that I was led to do because of the emails. Because several of you were asking the same question. In fact, last week, several of you came up to me one at a time and said, you know, I know God's real and in the Bible, but how do you know His will? How do you know that He's talking to you? What? And they would go nuts about. And I went home from this place last week, got in the car and started going, okay, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And I went, maybe He wants me to teach about what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What do I do, Lord? Everybody's talking about God's will. What do I do, Lord? So tonight I call this thing, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I'm talking about what do you want me to say, what do you want me to do, and I subtitled this, God loves you and has a plan for your life. God loves you and He has a plan for your life. In my study of this, I got to tell you what I found out. Did you know in the Old Testament it was very simple? It was very simple to discern God's will before the fall, before the Babylonian captivity. Those of you who went through the glory study, you know what I'm talking about? The Babylonian captivity of Israel. Those of you who went through the glory study with me. But before the Babylonian captivity of Israel, the priests, people used to go to the priest to find God's will. And they found God's will by using this thing that some of you may have never heard of, called the Urim and the Thummim. Anybody ever heard of the Urim and the Thummim? How many people have been in church in here since 9 months before they were born? Come on. And you never heard of the Urim and the Thummim. Not to be confused with Uma Thurman, who's this actress chick. But her parents had to have known, because who would name their child Uma? Have you ever thought about that? Hi, my name's Uma. That's just ugly. But the Urim and the Thummim. Say that. Okay, everybody, say it three times fast when you're ready. Come on. Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim. Urim and, it's very difficult. See, you try to teach this stuff. Now, you know what? We know very little about the Urim and the Thummim. Except that the Urim and the Thummim were worn by the priest. Go with me to to Exodus real quick. Exodus 28. In Exodus 28, God's given Moses a bunch of rules. He's already given him the Ten Commandments. He's given him all kinds of stuff, but He's given him the ways that the priest should dress. And he told Moses to tell Aaron how to dress. In 28:36, He says this. God said to Moses, He said, make a plate of pure gold, engraved on it as a seal, holy to the Lord, then fasten the blue cord to it, and attach it to the turban that he's going to wear. This big plate says, Holy to the Lord, was sitting right here on Aaron's forehead. But if you back up to 30, in chapter 28, it says, also put the Urim and Thummim in the breastplate so they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. The Urim and the Thummim was used to make decisions. In fact, that breastplate that the priest wore was called the breastplate of judgment or decision. It was the square breastplate made of gold, and it was called the breastplate of decision, the breastplate of judgment. And in it was a pouch that kept the Urim and Thummim. Now you may be asking, what is the Urim and Thummim? You may just be sitting there going, Urim and Thummim, Urim and Thummim. You might. That's what I had to do all day long to try to get Urim and Thummim. We don't know what the Urim and Thummim were. We don't have much information about it except that it was common knowledge among the Levitical priests what it was. They didn't tell anybody. Some theorized that it was a bag of stones. And on those stones, they believe, were written either the tribes of Israel or some other things. I promise, I've studied it. This is what it says. Some other things. Oh, how much we know about the Urim and Thummim. And they would cast them down on the floor and define God's will out of this. Now, the theories range widely, even among the Levitical priests. That Urim and Thummim, they believed there were stones that they held here, and they would cast them on the floor, and they believed that if so many Urim came up, whatever that is, I promise you, study it. You'll find the same thing I did. Nobody knows. If so many Urim came up, then that meant yes. And if so many Thummim came up, that meant no. They were throwing dice, baby. They were throwing dice. But you know what happened to the Urim and the Thummim? We don't know. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's listed 19 times, the Urim and Thummim, in the Old Testament. In fact, it wasn't used after, as far as we know, it was not used very much after the Babylonian exile. They did cast lots for things, even in the New Testament. And they believe that's where it came from. But we don't know much about the Urim and Thummim. Guess what? We lost the instructions on how to find God's will. Isn't that stupid? Don't you think that would be a little important to maybe hold on to? You got something here, God, to you. And they lost it. Does that tick anybody else off? Wouldn't that be great if we could just carry a bag around? Well, should I date you or not? Hang on. Oh, sorry. Too many Thummim, sweetheart. Hate that for you. We lost the instructions. You know, without the instructions, things stink, doesn't it? I have a set of Uno cards. I've lost the instructions. I don't know how to play Uno anymore. Anybody know how to play Uno? Would somebody write down that? See, everybody does. I just don't. But I did something else, man. This will date me, okay? This will date me. This will show you my age. A girl and I were dating, and I was babysitting somebody's house for the week while they were gone. And they had one of the first, like, home video game kind of thingies. And then we were excited, this girl, and we were like, yeah, you know, we're Christian. We weren't going to do anything else. And we were home. And so we were staying there at the house. And so we were going to play this thing. It was Mario Brothers. The little guys. You know what I'm talking about? But we didn't have the instructions. I promise this is the truth. And this so embarrasses me. We didn't know that you could jump. That there was a button that would make the little guy jump. Well, if anybody can think back and remember the game, you run and you jump over this little cliff thing in the very first screen before you get to something you have to climb. 45 minutes we played
and we would maybe have to really run fast, and we'd and then we'd go, okay, now how about if we just get there and stop now, push it forward, and he'd go. I mean, he fell off thousands of times. We had to reset that game time. We just put it up. And the next day, the guy called and said, so how's the house? I said, I don't care. How do you get the guy over that cliff? He said, push B. I went, okay, I'm a geek, you know. Without the instructions, things stink. We lost the instructions. We lost the instruction to find God's will. Isn't that stupid? How do we find God's will? Before we even begin to talk about some of the mechanics of finding God's will, and there's a couple things we've got to clear up. Number one, you got to know that God has a plan for your life. You got to know that God has a plan for your life. That's the first thing you got to get out of the way. Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 29:11. This should clear it up for you, okay? The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, dot, dot, dot. I don't have to finish it. I know the plans I have for you. What does that say? He's got plans for you. Duh. That should clear that up. But you got to know that. He knew you before you were born, the Bible says. In the womb, in your mother's womb, he knew you and had a plan for you. Is that a specific day-by-day, absolute second-by-second plan for your life? No. Did he choose that you should have hair like that and I should have hair like this? We are free will agents. Just understand that. We are free will agents. God gave us a free will. That's the very beginning of creation, was that he wanted a relationship with us, a love relationship with us, and without free will, there will be no love. Because if I can't choose not to love him, then that's not love. If he could just make us robots. But he didn't. He gave us free will, and that means we have choice. Okay? My mother one time was sitting with a group of ladies in her church, and a lady said, this man walked in on me in the bathroom. She said, what was God trying to say? Promise. And my mother said, to lock the door. God didn't plan that from the beginning of time. Now, he also didn't just make the world and spin it and hope everything turned out all right either. He's got a plan for your life. But within that plan, he gives you free will. There's a balance there. We're going to go into that later. But you got to know he's got a plan. Next, once you know he's got a plan, you got to stop the selfish prayers. I helped write a book called Experiencing God. Helped write the youth edition. Some of you may have done that when you were young. Shut up. I helped write a book. In that I learned this. That your prayer should never be this. Father, what is your will for my life? That is a selfish prayer. What's at the center of that prayer? Your will or God's life? Your life or God's will? Your life. What is your will for my life? Me, God. Your prayer should be this. Father, what's your will for this planet? How can I plug in? That puts his will at the center. Do you understand that? In order to find his will, it's got to be his will and not yours. Put his will at the center. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. But you got to put his will in the center of it. A lady one time, old Scottish, it's an old Scottish wives tell, that said that a lady that used to sell buttons and threads would go through Scotland, and when she would get to a fork in the road, she would take a stick and throw it in the air, and whichever way it pointed, that's the road she would go. But she was seen one day standing in front of this fork in the road, pitching a stick up in the air, and she kept pitching it up in the air again and pitching it up in the air again. And the guy came to her and said, why are you pitching it up in the air more than once? And she said, well, it keeps pointing left and I don't want to go that way. That's what we do. God, stop praying. God, here's my plans. Bless them. Here's my plan. This is my plan for my life, and I have it all laid out. Right here, bless them, God. It's not his. It's got to be not my will but yours. It's got to be not my will but yours. Psalm 25:9 says he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. He guides the humble. That means, God, what you got going on today? Can I be a part? Show me. My friend Henry, who runs my life now back in the offices of our ministry, wakes up and says, God, use me. You know what happened to him today? He got a phone call today. A man just picked a Christian, he don't even know where he got the number, picked a Christian ministry out of the telephone book. He must have poked it, dialed the number, and cussed Henry out. He's a veteran. His wife died a year ago. He's flat broke, and he's mad at God, and he wanted to talk to somebody. And my brother in Christ, Henry, got to minister sitting in his desk today to somebody he's never met. Because he prayed, God, what's your will today? God said, I got a ministry for you. If you really want to plug in, here. Isn't that cool? In Luke 1, an angel showed up to a teenage girl named Mary one day and said,
Mary, you're going to get...
No, that's not what he said. How do angels... I would love to hear their voices, because it's probably like, hey, what's going on? You know? Yo, yo, yo! You know? Because you know they got rhythm. They play instruments. Love that. He said, Mary, you're going to have a kid. Isn't that great? And she said, hold on. I'm one of them Virginian girls. How's that going to happen? And he said, Holy Spirit's going to come on you. It's going to be awesome. And you're going to be our child. His name's going to be Jesus. You know what Mary didn't say? Mary didn't say, whoa, hold on. Hold on, wait. I'm going to get pregnant. They're going to call me a hoe. I got a fiance. He's going to believe me. No, really. I'm still a virgin. The baby? That was going to mess up her life. You know what she said? She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Isn't that awesome? She just said, whatever, Lord, you have my permission to ruin my life. You have my permission to make a fool of me. Give me your permission to do anything. Does he need it? No. A friend of mine, Mary Jo, counseled a girl one day and she said, I don't want to turn my life around to Christ because he's going to make me miserable. And Mary Jo looked at her and said, God doesn't need your permission to make you miserable. He can do that anyway. He doesn't need your permission. But when you give him your life, he will change everything. Now let's look at some ways to find God's will. You ready? Number one, God gave you a brain. He gave you a brain. The Bible says that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. That includes your brain. One of the first rules to find God's will is to understand that God gave you a brain, so weed out the insane. Okay, weed out the insane. What do I mean by that? I don't have to pray one minute as to whether or not I should be a sumo wrestler. I don't have to pray at all whether I should be a nuclear physicist or a Speedo model. I don't have to pray about those things. No one should be a Speedo model. I'm sorry. If anyone prayed, that shouldn't happen. And it's always those very large men with
totally burned peeling skin on Daytona Beach. You know what I'm talking about? And you just go, hi! You want a witness, but you're going, God loves you. You know, have you ever gone on a witnessing? Weed out. Two things you got to weed out, and you can do this with your brain, guys. God gave you your brain. First thing you got to weed out is you got to weed out the stupid. I have people come to me, students have come to me at conferences and say, I want to be, I just feel like God's leading me to be a singer and a dancer. Can you sing and dance? No. I want to come see this. You can't sing and dance. Don't sell everything you have and move to New York. Don't do that. Unless God wrote it in bright red lipstick in the clouds, don't do it. Okay? Also, weed out the unbiblical. Just recently, I had a lady come to me and say that her husband came to her after 20-some-odd years of marriage and say, God has given me a peace that I can leave you and the kids. God gave me a peace about leaving you. And you know what she said? She said, it's amazing to me that God gave him a peace and I get the pieces. God did not give you a peace for that. That goes against his word. And he's not going to go against his word. God give me a peace about the fact that we can have sex before marriage. No, he didn't. It goes against his word. And he won't speak against his word. He don't change his mind. So rule out the unbiblical. But do not rule out the God-sized tasks that he shows you. Because sometimes God wants you to do something that only he can do. Through you. And you're going, well, what about that singing thing? Unless God zaps your throat and suddenly you are Pavarotti, if you get up in the morning and you're singing, Jesus loves me, comes out, Jesus loves me, then you can go, praise God you did that and I'll move to New York. But God can give you a God-sized test. Can I tell you something? It's a weird dream, but I'm doing it. There's a place called Sun City. Sun City Condos. It was actually Sun City Resort at one time. It was the Ramada Inn. It was off of the Turnpike. I went to my high school prom at that Ramada Inn, and then it shut down. It says something about it, doesn't it? You know, that place has been sitting for almost 15 years, completely gone. But I know what it looks like. It's been empty. In fact, it's been in a divorce settlement. Between two very wealthy people. They changed it to a condo and it didn't work because they were hotel rooms. I'm not going to buy a condo that looks like a hotel room, you know? But it's been a divorce settlement. And one night I drove by there and I went, God, I don't know if this is you, but I'm going to go stand in that parking lot. Because you know what I see in that place? I see a training facility for young people. I see classrooms and places to stay that's 35 minutes from Disney and Universal. It's a perfect opportunity for youth groups all over the country to come. Is that God telling me that? I don't know, but I felt so strongly about it. I called the Chamber of Commerce and researched who owned it. And ever since then, I've been standing next, every time I drive by it, I stretch my hand out and say, God, if that's your will, let it be so. And if you want to use me, I'm all over that. If it don't happen, I'm okay with that, God, but boy, I'll walk the path if you want me to. Because I see something that could be great there. You know? It's just a dream. Is that odd? It's exciting, though, isn't it? Right next to all the heathen hotels in that area. So cool. So, God gave you a brain, number one. Number two, God gave you his word. He gave you the Bible. How do you find God's will? Check the Bible. Turn with me, please, to Acts. Acts chapter 15 and 16.
Acts 15:36 says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas set out on a third missionary journey. There were two before that, and this was the third missionary journey. But you know what I found out from just that sentence? And I read on through that whole story about how they took off through some areas. In fact, go there. Turn over to 16:6. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the regions of Hardward and Galatia, and having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word into the province of Asia, they came to the border of Mysia. They tried to enter Hardward, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia, standing and begging him, come to Macedonia to help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You know what I saw about that? That God gave Paul no absolute specific edict to get up, leave Antioch, and go start preaching to all these towns. God gave him no specific word. You know what Paul was acting on? Paul wasn't acting, God didn't all of a sudden go into all these areas. In fact, God stopped him from going to a couple of the areas while he was on the way. You know what God did? You know why Paul did the way he did? Because of God's general will. God has a specific will for your life, but he has a general will spelled out in his book. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and preach to all nations and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son. So guess what? In the absence of a specific edict from God, Paul said, you know what? It would be good to go back and trace our steps. In fact, during that same story, Paul picked up a guy named Timothy. He picked up this guy named Timothy, and Timothy was a Greek. Well, they were going in a bunch of Jewish areas. And everybody knew this guy, Timothy's father, was a Greek. And they wouldn't listen to him. So Paul said, you know what? I think we should circumcise Timothy. And they did. Why? Did God write it in the clouds? No. Because it was a good idea. Because it made sense. I know. Some of you are going, just because it was a good idea? No. It was a little deeper than that, okay? He got no specific edict from God. He just, common sense, had a man say to me one time, you know what, I prayed, and then I just went out and acted on common sense, and everything worked out okay. Isn't that why God gave you a brain? That's the purpose of common sense. It says all wisdom is from the Lord. Guess what? Sometimes if it makes sense, do it. And he gave you general rules in his word. Some of you are saying, what church should I go to? Well, you know what I tell you? Go to his word and see what it says about churches and what they should be doing. Look up church. Look up discipleship. Look up evangelism. Look up worship. If this church that you're looking at is doing those things and doing them well, guess what? God may not write. Some people are paralyzed in God's will trying to figure it out when he's giving you all the stuff you need. If you're saying, well, what kind of person should I date? Look up relationships in the Word of God. If the person you're with right now does not meet up with what God says a woman should be, dump them. God doesn't have to write it in the clouds for you. Dump them. If he's not doing it now, ladies, if he's not respecting you, holding you up, keeping you beside him as your best friend, if he's not doing those things now, what makes you think a ring's going to fix that? He gave you general principles in the Word of God. We move on. Was Paul in God's will when they took off through those churches? You're saying, well, God stopped him from going here and stopped him from going here. Go with me quickly to Acts 16:5. 16:5, right above this place where it says they went all through these places, it says they went through Jerusalem for the people to obey. It says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Guess what? Paul didn't even know he was in God's will, and he was. But see, sometimes God's will is cyclical. It's not the It's not the simplest, what is it, straight line between two points? Shortest distance between two points? That's not God's will all the time. We think it is. Well, if it's God's will, it's going to take me directly where He wants me to go. No, He's got to train you to get there. If He told you what you were going to do in 5 years, you'd slit your wrists. You're not ready for it. A lot of pastors say, why did I go to this church and I'm so horrible? So you would be okay with the next church you're going to that's going to love on you but may not be as much money. I love, but people are going, well, I'm sitting here. Don't be paralyzed waiting for God's will. Next, seek godly counsel. The Bible says where two or more are gathered, He's there and He'll touch that thing. Seek godly counsel. Seek people who know you too, not just agree with you. Yes men, that's stupid. I have yes people in my life. Can I just tell you that? They just go, oh, that's awesome, that's good, that's good. I would much rather disagree with someone who understands me than agree with someone who doesn't. I like people that look at me and go, that's a stupid idea. I prayed about it. God put a big S in the clouds, Brent said, stupid. And if the group of people that I go to for my counsel are disagreeing with me and all they're in, I go, okay. Seek godly counsel. Now the majority does not always mean God's will if the majority is not listening to God. Notice I said godly counsel. Because we always like to hang with people who agree with us. Yeah. Do that thing. Tell your boss off. Get fired. Who are you going to blame?
My best friends.
And guys, listen to women. Let me just say that. I'm telling you, especially when we get married, guys, I'm serious about this. God has given women this thing called intuition. And as much as we hate it, see, guys, gentlemen, we think with our heads. We say, well, I've got this decision. I will lay it out on paper and this and this and that and that and that and this and here's the negatives and the positives and we'll lay it all out and this is why we need to do it. And a girl will go, I just don't feel it's right. You're going, did you see the list? Overwhelmingly, this is the answer. I don't know. I'm just feeling all glarcy about it. You know, kind of blechy. You're going, what's glucky? That's not on the list, you know? And you know what? 9 out of 10, they're right. Because women think with their hearts. God gave them that tender heart to help us make the decisions that we're going to mess up, gentlemen. Now, ladies, don't you use that. Like, oh, please. I just feel like we should go to Olive Garden instead of McDonald's. It's just a feeling. Next, come into His presence with your options. And this is something, guys, that I started doing myself without knowing it was biblical. Come into His presence and lay your options before Him. Acts 2:28, Peter is quoting David and says, you have made known to me the paths of life and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Come before Him if you have options in front of you and say, Lord, here's option A. I'm going to get in your presence for a while. And I just want to explore option A for a little while in your presence. In prayer, I'm going to worship you and I'm just be asking you, Lord. And there was a lady that in the Bible, Jesus said, that came before a judge. And she just kept bugging him until finally He made a decision for her. And sometimes Jesus said, some things require much prayer. And you just bring option one and say, Lord, because see, the Bible says in His presence there is peace. And then you bring option two in front of Him and you say, Father, this is option two and I'm going to stay in Your presence. Do I believe in fasting and praying? Absolutely. I began a speaking ministry after traveling with a drama team for 13 years because of a 40-day fast. I'm not saying that to brag, and nobody knew when I was in the middle of it. But during that 40-day fast, God spoke to me. because nothing else was there. And guess what? If for no other reason, and don't you fast until you study it, okay? But a fast for me, every time the hunger pain hit, I hit my knees. Guess what? I was praying without ceasing. And I took my body under control and I said, Lord, if I can take this body under control, this is my reasonable sacrifice for you. And on the last days of my fast, God led me into a prayer, the prayers of Samuel, and I've told this before, as Saul, as Samuel had anointed Saul. And then God took his hand from Saul and put it on David. And Samuel was yelling, basically complaining to God, going, God, I put so much time into Saul, and why are you now David? What's the deal? And God looked at him and said this, on the last 3 days of my fast, God said, why are you mourning the flesh? Fill your horn with oil. I'm about to do a new thing. And I went, oh, Lord, that's confirmation. He spoke to me. And I was listening. I believe in fasting and I believe in praying while fasting. Bring it before Him. In His presence, there'll be peace with this option and not this one after a while. I've seen it happen. Next, seek confirmation. You can seek a sign. You can lay out a fleece. Gideon in the book of Judges, in Judges 6, Gideon laid out a fleece and said, God, if this is your will, would you make the fleece, this skin, would you make it wet and everything else dry? And it happened. And the next day he said, okay, maybe that was just a fluke. Lord, I'm going to set it out. Make it dry and everything else wet. It happened. He said, okay, must be it. Do I test my God? No, but I sometimes will put conditions. Lord, if I see this happening, there's a young lady that I was in the middle of dating that I came before the Lord and I saw some things that weren't just negotiable things. Okay? They weren't just things that I thought, oh, I can get over that. This was sin in her life that I knew that would become an absolute stumbling block between the two of us. It would be the thing that split us, and I knew it. And I came before the Lord and I said, Lord, if I speak to her about these things, she's not going to accept it. In fact, that's one of the problems. If I see a change in that area, Lord, this is the thing. And there was no change. God wasn't moving in that area. And God wasn't even using me, and I was trying to see a move in that area. And I said, okay, I'm going to back away. If that happens, cool. Does that mean I want a perfect wife? No. But I knew this was an area that we weren't going to get over. Seek confirmation. By the way, the week after I got a call, the week after I told the ministry that I was walking away from the ministry and beginning to speak on my own, Metro called me and said, we'd like you to come as our speaker. And I went, that's confirmation. Now, you may not like it, but I thought it was confirmation. Next, the next thing you'll have to do in finding God's will is you will have to step out in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith you cannot please God. And then if you read everything in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abraham did this. By faith Moses' parents stuck him in the river. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Guess what? No matter how much confirmation, no matter how many signs, don't be like Steve Martin in the movie All of Me, where he stood in front of this picture of his wife and said, should I marry her? Just give me a sign. And the painting spun and everything went black and things were flying around the room going, no, no. And when it finished, he went, just a sign, just any sign. And he married the girl anyway. But you're going to have to step out in faith. Do you know why that is, that he still wants you to step out in faith? I mean, I can say I had lots of confirmation I should leave and step out in this ministry. But I still had to go. Oh, Lord, are you going to catch me? Do you know why? Because He loves to build your trust in Him. He's a relational God. And He wants you to build your love for Him. Love grows with trust. There's always going to be a point of faith. If there's not, it's probably not God's will anyway. Two keys. Number one, walk righteously. You want to hear from him, walk righteously. If you want him to say something to you, you got to be listening. Let me give you a clue. Ephesians 6 says we put on the full armor of God. It says we put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Guess what? Back in the Old Testament, I always looked at that as a soldier getting dressed, right? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate. Think about this. The only difference between that soldier's outfit and a priest's outfit was the shield of faith and the sword. But the priest wore the breastplate, and what was the breastplate called? Breastplate of judgment, decision. We don't have to have the Urim and the Thummim, people, because we have the breastplate of righteousness. And through our walking righteously, He will give us His will. Walk righteously. Because, see, if you're not doing the things you know you should be doing, why do you expect Him to tell you a bigger task? There's stuff already you should be doing. He's not going to give you a bigger task until you do stuff He said. Walk righteously. And last, want His will. God looks on your heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Turn that with me for just a second. He will give you the desires. He'll give you those desires. He will, and guess what? If you don't have the desires He wants, He'll change the desires of your heart and give you new desires. Delight yourself in Him and He will give you the desires of your heart. Not what you want. He'll give you the things that you want. He'll make you want to. He looks on your heart. It's a heart issue, guys. It is a heart issue. And if you want His will, you'll walk in it. Promise. He never lets someone who desires it get too far away from it. Remember, Jesus said, if you ask your Father for bread, will He give you a stone? No. If you ask for God's will, is He going to give you something else? No, He loves you enough. He will never turn somebody an inkling away from His will. If you want it, you're going to walk in it. Desire it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your time. Thank You for Your will, Father, and that You show it to us on a daily basis. Lord, You do speak in revelations. You do speak in dreams. You spoke to Paul in dreams. You did all those things. But You speak to us all the time. And it's a still small voice. It's not a loud one. And we love You for it. Thank You, Lord, that I have to listen so much that I sit down and get in Your lap so You can whisper in my ear. You don't want to scream at me, Lord. You want to whisper in my ear, which means I got to crawl up in Your lap. Teach me to do that more. Teach me to do that more, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Brink and Brawl podcast. Please subscribe so you can stay up to date on when the newest episodes are released. Also, if you want to find out how to get more involved with Brink and Brawl Ministries, please check out thedoortohope.com.